Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
This week is Sleep Awareness Week. So I grew up, I wouldn't say under difficult conditions, because certainly I didn't. Privilege didn't have a name when we grew up. But that aside, I was socialized or schooled or indoctrinated to believe that sleep is weakness and sleep is for the lazy. I've been trying most of my life, unsuccessfully, to change that perception. Joining us on the line, Shoshana Safa, psychiatrist, and we're going to be talking about sleep apnea, sleep difficulties, and what causes them. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard.
How are you doing?
Well, I had a great sleep.
Well, that's good too. That makes one of us, so that's great. How do we change that perception? You knew my late father. He just didn't view sleep as something that was important. Sleep was something that we had to do.
Sleep was something for lambs, and he was a lion.
Exactly. But everything's changing because we're starting to understand just how important this is.
Absolutely. You know, in life in general, they talk about the rest in between being so important in terms of sort of rebooting and refreshing. You know, when we have our sympathetic fight or flight response, mm-hmm. our adrenaline based doing,
right.
achieving state.
Right.
They call it fight or flight.
Right.
We're ready to do or to act or to react. And then the other state is called sort of rest and digest. If we don't have time to digest our food, if we don't have time to sort of replenish our cells in our gastrointestinal tract, our cells in our hair and our skin, we can't carry on. It's almost more important. And this kind of rest is parallels in all forms of life and entertainment. Look at music. If you heard a symphony without the rest,
absolutely.
You sound like a symphony.
Absolutely. We see this in marketing as well, is that your empty spaces, your white spaces are often more important than what people are actually seeing, because without that, you can't showcase what you're doing, and you need, your eyes need it, even just on the most basic level. You speak about music as well. So it's almost that which is what sleep is.
Absolutely. It's that rest in between to allow us to process, accumulate, and sort of lay down the memories and sort all the stuff that's happened during our working hours.
So how much sleep should we be getting a night? And obviously
you know
age
what?
Varies in people.
Sure. Mm. You know what? I don't think that there's a should, but there is definitely something to understand in terms of the fact that there are natural short sleepers and there are natural long sleepers. So there are people who need 9 hours sleep and there are people who need 4.5 or 5 hours sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that people complain, or the definition of a sleep disorder is when someone is complaining of an issue with sleep, but in terms of how the duration, how long they're sleeping, or the fact that they're finding it non-refreshing or non-restorative, or the timing of the sleep. So you can be having 9 hours sleep, but if it's during a working day, that's not really helpful when you're meant to be at work.
Right, absolutely. So, one of our listeners asked, why is it that we sleep less, or we seem to need less sleep as we get older?
Well, that's because our brains get smaller. Now, that's a joke. I'm not quite sure about that.
I panicked. You made me panic there for a minute.
I forgot.
It's 6:54 in the morning and you had me completely hysterical. So we don't really know the answer to that.
Point of the matter is that when we get older, we do require less sleep because there are a lot of our brain processes that aren't developing as they were when we were children.
Right. That's a very nice way of saying we are getting stupider. But all right, let's just talk about sleep apnea. What is it?
Okay, so sleep apnea is actually one of the commonest sleep-related disorders.
Mm-hmm.
in that a person will have episodes of almost stopping to breathe. So we call these attacks apnea, which is sort of failure to respirate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something called hypopnea, which is sort of a reduction, let's put it that way, in decent airflow. Whereas apnea is the complete stoppage of all airflow. And, because what happens is when a person stops breathing at night, they actually start sort of waking up. Now, they may not remember it because they're small little awakenings. But the problem is that there are lots of little awakenings during the night. The people really are going to start feeling not okay during the day. And the bed partner might complain or say that there was sort of sounds in the sleep, snoring, gasping, those kinds of things.
Right.
But and it's associated with, in my profession at least, I mean, almost, sure, I would say between 30 and 50% of people actually complain of depression.
Wow.
So that's...
Does it cause depression or does depression cause sleep apnea?
I would say that it's a co-occurring thing, but I would say more in terms of the fact that the sleep apnea, the chronic lack of sleep,
right, affects mood,
cause,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in this particular case,
which makes sense. How do you know, or how should what are so? How do we know if we need to look into this?
Generally, people will be complaining of daytime sleepiness, fatigue. Or saying that they slept a long time, but they feel completely unrefreshed. But the point is, you need to make sure it's not another sleep disorder. So the way to actually diagnose sleep apnea is to send your patient to a sleep clinic. You get a specific test called a sleep EEG, where it's not an invasive or scary test. They just stick electrodes on your head, and you go to sleep, and a machine measures your sleep or your sleep waves, let's put it that way. It's almost like having an ECG on your heart. Everybody knows what those little blips look like. And then they can actually see awakenings. It's just important for people to understand that there is a normal sleep architecture. So normally when you go to sleep, you will enter a period of light sleep. Then you go into dreaming sleep called REM, REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. And then what happens is during the night, you go from stage one sleep, which is really light sleep. You'd wake up if your wife walked into the room or you heard a toilet flushing. But then you go into stage two, three, and then level four sleep is what's called your deep restorative sleep, that you really wake up feeling refreshed from. But during the night, you go through cycles. So you'll go into stage one, two, three, four, three, two, one. And it kind of cycles up and down the whole night. And there are periods of REM sleep, which is actually the sleep where you dream, in between. So you'll have more REM sleep towards the end of the evening, but you'll certainly have a couple of REM sleeps in the beginning of the evening.
Right.
And that's where more of these so-called sleep disorders, we can diagnose whether or not they occur in the REM sleep or the non-REM.
The one of our listeners is saying the sleep apnea mask disturbs my sleep even more. All right, so that's already the next stage. So let's assume you go to a sleep clinic. They determine that you do have sleep apnea. They might recommend that you sleep with a sleep apnea mask. Not necessarily easy for people to get used to.
Yeah, these masks really are quite, they can be quite difficult for many people. There are a couple of people who don't bother with them. They say they put their mask on and they, you know, it's a very tight-fitting mask. It's almost like, I don't know if you've ever been, not scuba diving, but when you have that mask and you go snorkeling. You know,
right, where it's got a seal.
Correct. It's quite a tight mask, and it also makes, you know, it feels like it makes quite a bit of noise because, you know, you're getting this feeling of you know, focusing on your air blowing in and out. And a lot of people can be quite disturbed by that. On the other hand, I believe that there are more modern designs and certainly coming out, which are almost just like nasal prongs.
Right.
But it really depends on how, you know, on the cause, on if your sleep apnea is central, which just means that you are, I just want to make a point here. People don't, people assume it's always obstructed sleep apnea, meaning that you've actually got big tonsils or a lot of fat in your neck or particularly a thick neck or whatever it is, crowded teeth, that there's just too much
going on.
Too much flesh at the back of your throat and there's not enough space for the air to go in, which is obstruction. Things are falling into the space that the airflow would be. Okay. But there's something else called central sleep apnea. And that means that your actual breathing apparatus in your brain is not beating strong enough. So it's almost like in the heart where you need a pacemaker to keep your heart beating. Sometimes you need a breathing apparatus to actually remind your brain.
Incredible.
So, yeah. If you have obstructive or central sleep apnea and it gets properly treated, these are the people who will really turn around and say it's been life-changing.
Amazing.
That they really find that their functioning, their mood, their wakefulness is just something that they never experienced before. So it can really be a turnaround.
All right.
It's not in everybody who gets a mask. But
in many cases. We do unfortunately need to leave it there. It's just gone 7:01, unfortunately. Shana Saf, psychiatrist,
well,
thank you.
Well, next time we'll get into the more fun disorders like the sleepwalking and terror.
Oh, definitely. Oh, we love those. All right. So there's a teaser for next time.